Everybody's screaming. Hashtag gang, gang, gang.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at redrock_bball. Another season recap podcast for you guys today, and we're going to be looking at the San Antonio Spurs. So
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Of course, the big story from the San Antonio Spurs season this year was Kawhi Leonard. At the time of recording this podcast, there's been no resolution in this issue. The Spurs are planning, apparently, to offer Kawhi the five-year, $220 million max, supermax contract extension when they can, which is July 1st. No reports on whether Kawhi is going to take that. Been no reports of thawing of any relationship or any sort of thing like that. But if he doesn't want the extension, the Spurs may be open to trading him. There's no point me speculating about where he can go and what offers are going to be there. At this point, we'll just work on the assumption that Kawhi will be healthy and he'll be on the San Antonio Spurs next season. But of course, neither of those things at this point are a given. It was a real disappointing year for Kawhi, for people that drafted Kawhi in fantasy, and for San Antonio Spurs fans, and for general fans of the NBA, because he's a bloody good player. This San Antonio Spurs team did struggle a little bit this season without their best player and one of the best five players in the NBA. They finished 47-35 for the seventh best record in the Western Conference. Had the 28th best pace, so third worst in the NBA, 17th best offense, and third best defense, which is really a feat of miracles from Greg Popovich and this staff. Without the best defensive player in the NBA, who isn't a big man in Kawhi Leonard, still to put up the third best defense is an absolutely astonishing performance from this San Antonio team. They do have the 18th pick in this upcoming draft, along with pick 49, both of their own picks. So some opportunity there, maybe at 18 to get that, get someone in who might be a rotation-based player. We talk about how good their defense was. They rebounded well. They limited opposition free throws. They got a lot of offensive rebounds as well. They forced turnovers at a decent enough rate. And they, one of the big keys was just limiting their opponent getting to the line. They blocked a ton of shots, as well, and didn't allow the opposition to block many shots. Really, really strong defensive performance. Very hard to say too much negative about what San Antonio did on that end. Their offense did sputter without Kawhi, but really a superb effort to get to where they were and just miss out on that 50 wins. Now, things started to drag on this team as the season went on, and it became clear that the Kawhi thing was a distraction to players in the locker room. There was constant leaking of reports from the Spurs side, from Kawhi's side, from the players' side, with Tony Parker opening his big mouth at times. Stuff that was really un-Spurs-like during the season. It did seem to wear on this team as they started losing some games down the stretch, and of course bundled out in five games in the first round of the playoffs by the Golden State Warriors. In terms of what free agency looks like for this team, Tony Parker is an unrestricted free agent. They've got three guys with player options. Dan Green has a $10 million player option. Rudy Gay has an $8.8 million player option. And Joffrey Laverne, $1.7 million on his player option, who he could have very well picked that up because he's not guaranteed a contract next season. I imagine Green would opt out, and I think Gay has an opportunity to opt out there as well. They've also got quite a few restricted free agents, the big name there being Kyle Anderson. Davis Bertans is also restricted. Bryn Forbes is restricted. Their two-way guys, Matt Costello and Darren Hilliard, are both restricted free agents this season, while Brandon Paul, who had a decent role at the beginning of the season, but then that faded quite a bit, he has a non-guaranteed deal. So there is some opening up here, potentially of some cap space. There's no guarantee that Tony Parker returns to this team. We've heard him say that. He'd like to, but it's not a guarantee at this point. He isn't anywhere near it. There's the level of player that he has been in the past. I don't think that should be really any surprise to any to any people. I don't know. He's not that good anymore, but let's just see what sort of a deal they can come to terms with and whether sentimentality rules out with Tone Parker for this San Antonio Spurs team. Have a look at some of the team leaders on this squad in terms of, you know, offensive defensive rating. LaMarcus Aldridge had the best offensive rating on the team, while Kawhi in his limited minutes had the best defensive rating. But aside from that, it was DeJounte Murray and Kyle Anderson. And DeJounte Murray was well rewarded with a spot on the second team all defensive team. He was really, really strong in that area this year. Outside of that, LaMarcus Aldridge led in nearly most categories, best box score plus minus. He didn't have the best box score plus minus. That went to Kawhi and then Kyle Anderson. Best VORP for LaMarcus Aldridge on this team, who did, you know, quite a bit in carrying this squad as far as they were able to go. Let's talk LaMarcus now and what sort of a season he did have. 75 games, 33 minutes, averaged 23.5 to be the 27th ranked player. Half a three, two assists, 0.6 steals and 1.2 blocks. And it's the elite efficiency which really boosts him up. 51 from the field, 84 from the line. Really strong stuff from LaMarcus Aldridge. A big jump over where he was last year. He averaged an additional 6 points per game, an extra 1.2 rebounds per game as the Spurs went smaller with him at center more and him playing less with Pau Gasol. Everything else about the same. Assists, steals, blocks, basically the same, but it was the extra 4.2 percentage point increase in his usage rate leading to the improvement in his scoring along with an improvement in efficiency of an extra 3 percentage points on his field goal percentage that enabled him to jump from the 63rd to 27th best player. Now, if Kawhi is back fully healthy next year, will he put up a 29% usage rate? I would say that's almost impossible, and expecting him to go down to 25 or 26 is more realistic, meaning him being able to replicate that 27th best finish in fantasy seems an unlikely event for LaMarcus Aldridge next season, so bear that in mind. He's also not that young. He's a guy who is going to turn 33 at the start of the season. So we're talking about, again, a guy who's heading into the downside of his career. So maybe expect some of the efficiency to drop. Maybe the rebounding numbers drop. And definitely that usage will come down if Kawhi is on this team next season. So be aware of that when looking to consider drafting him and valuing him in keeper type formats. That is an important point to keep in mind. Now let's talk some Kawhi Leonard. It was only 9 games, but still, in only 23 minutes, he averaged 16, 4.7, and 2.3. Over a 3, 2 steals, a block, 47, 82, and 31. 32nd ranked player in only 23 minutes. They are elite numbers, and this is why he is an elite player. This is why he's been a top 10 guy the last 3 seasons. And yeah, per 36 minutes, he averaged 25, 7, and 3 with 3 steals, 1.5 blocks, and 2 triples. Almost the same guy that he'd been in previous seasons. And I think that with the uncertainty with his leg, he is going to be at a bit of a discount in drafts. But by discount, I mean if his ADP is 15, I'm all about it. If his ADP is 10, then that's sort of about the right spot for Kawhi. I don't think he's getting into the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in anywhere near that sort of range. He's a back-end first-round guy, assuming everyone is healthy. But if he starts sliding because of uncertainty, and if he falls outside the top 20, that would be a no-brainer, unless more information comes out where, you know what, this quad's never going to be better. And I don't think that's the case, but the condition he got is a degenerative one. It's not an acute injury. It's a chronic type situation with inflammation and calcification and all this other stuff going on in there. And that's the concern you have to have. You might be able to buy low for Kawhi in a dynasty format. That's a possibility. And I think that he's still got top 10 seasons left in him. He hasn't turned 27 yet. He's still there. So at least 2 to 3 more years of being a top 10 guy, assuming that this degenerative condition doesn't actually prevent him from getting back to his best, which of course is a huge, huge concern with Kawhi Leonard as we move forward. But he looked good in the time that he played. We just didn't get to see enough of him. Kyle Anderson did take advantage of that extra opportunity afforded to him. He's coming up to be a restricted free agent, 24 years of age, 27 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.6 steals and 0.8 blocks, 73-71% shooting numbers, which are really strong. He was a top 90 player for the season, really did step his game up. He's never going to be a scorer, but he's a great rebounder as a small forward. Good assist numbers, strong steals, good blocks, and the efficiency went up from 45 from the field to 53 from the field for a true shooting of 58%, by far the most efficient season he has had in the NBA. So that's a real positive for him. But defensively, he's excellent. Offensively, he does struggle. Where does he go next year? Like, is he back on this team? And if so, what role does he play? Do they continually go with that small lineup and play Aldridge at center, Anderson at the four, Kawhi at the three, or vice versa, Anderson at the three, Kawhi at the four? That's a possibility. But even in a year where Kawhi was out, we still only saw 27 minutes from Kyle Anderson, and Rudy Gay did start to cut into that playing time a little bit. Now, Gay might not be on this team either. So there are certain things there, but I wouldn't be getting overly excited to expect a top 100 season from Anderson next year. In fact, I think that's probably not a big likelihood, despite how impressive he was defensively. He just doesn't do enough offensively, and I don't see the minutes necessarily getting back to that same level that they were this past season. Pau Gasol, going to be 38 very shortly. Obviously, that's pretty old. Don't need me to tell you that. 77 games, 23 minutes, 10 and 8, half a 3, 3 assists, 1 block, 46, 76 and 36 for a true shooting of 54%. Decent enough numbers for Pau, but as he gets older, the playing time is going to dwindle, and he averaged under 10 points per game this season, including playoffs, which is not where he had been in the past. The rebound numbers are still strong, and he still provided okay fantasy value, 117th ranked player this season, but not a guy that I think we should be looking at as a target in any sort of standard leagues. I think there's a chance we lose a couple of extra minutes off Pau, and as I said, we see more of that LaMarcus Anderson Kawhi 3-4-5 combo, and you can also throw Rudy Gay in there as well if he does happen to come back or opt in. Now, defensively, the advanced numbers did really like Pau Gasol last season. The on-off stuff didn't necessarily, and he was able to be toasted quite a bit defensively, so we have to bear that in mind, that there is concerns, and there are teams that he just can't play against on a consistent basis. He was able to still have those big games. There was a 22 and 13 game against the Bucks in March that he was able to put up, a 19, 10 and 8 against the Lakers in early March that he was able to go for, 13, 12 and 7 against the Nets in January, a 14, 11 and 10 triple double against the Kings in December, 21 and 10 against the Bulls in November. So he still had that opportunity, or still had that ability to do it. It just didn't happen all that often, and I think that's something that we should feel is likely to be a repeat type incident for Pau as he moves forward in his dwindling years of his NBA career. Let's talk Danny Green, who does have that player option for next season. Another disappointing year for Greeno. 25 minutes, 8 points, 3.5 rebounds, 1.6 triples, 0.9 steals, and 1.1 blocks. So still an excellent shot-blocking shooting guard, always good in that area. But unfortunately, he's just not getting the playing time anymore to be a triple one guy. He hasn't been a triple one guy since the 14-15 season because he's only been getting 26 or 25 minutes per night. The three-point shooting is waxing and waning, 35.6% this season, which is not the 40% that he used to be. It just appears that age has caught up with him. He's about to turn 31. I think that he might be on another team. I don't think that the Spurs are really valuing him that much, especially offensively. Defensively, he still does things very, very well. One of the best transition defenders in the entire NBA. And those steals and block numbers are still really good, but they just don't rely on him. And again, with Kawhi coming back, he had the opportunity to push to a 28, 29 minute role per game this season. And they just wouldn't do it. You'd see Pat Mills out there over Green. You'd see Gay. You'd see Anderson. You'd see Bryn Forbes. You'd see weird type of lineups, as the faith in Danny Green with Greg Popovich doesn't seem to be anywhere near as high as what it's been in previous seasons. And I wouldn't be expecting any sort of massive bounce back or anything along those lines for Green as we move forward. And he was the 147th ranked player, and he, I think, should be left for deeper leagues from here on out. Rudy Gay recovered well from his Achilles injury. He is over 31 and will turn 32 at the start of the season. 154th ranked player in just 22 minutes, 11.5 and 5, half a 3, 0.8 steals, 0.6 blocks. Those numbers are really impressive for an older player coming off an Achilles injury. Per 36, he averaged 18.5 and 8 with over a steal, a block, and a 3 on really strong efficiency. And I thought that he looked as good as you could have anticipated. Now, the 3-point shooting was terrible. Just 30% shooting on 3 this year after shooting 37% last season. True shooting of just 53%. There were concerns there with Gay. He has, at times, been an excellent fantasy player. really strong top 50, top 60 guy consistently. In fact, his previous four seasons had all been top 50 seasons for Gay. I don't think he's ever getting back to that. But if he finds a role where he's in a 30-minute role, then he will be a top 100 guy, and he will score well, and he will give you steals, and he will block shots, and he will be useful in fantasy, even if his real-life value doesn't necessarily mirror that of fantasy. But he still showed that he still got it, and that's an impressive feat for a guy coming off the sort of injury that he did. Really, really impressed with what Rudy was able to do this season. Strong advanced numbers as well. Great win shares per 48 numbers. On off, he was about neutral as well. A guy who wasn't neutral in on off was DeJounte Murray, a plus 5.6 in his first year as the starting point guard. It started off terribly for him this season. With no Tone Parker to begin the season, he started as the starting point guard and was benched for Patty Mills. Couldn't hold on to that role. But later in the year, even when Parker was back, Greg Popovich said, you know what, we're going to go back to DeJounte. That happened in the middle of January, and he stuck as the starting point guard from there on out. He's not your traditional point guard. He's not banging in threes. He's not scoring high rates. In fact, he's not even getting you assists at high rates, but he does many different things and does them well. 8 points per game in his 22 minutes. Almost 6 rebounds in that time, which is obviously really, really strong for a point guard in terms of where that ranks for his position. I'll have a look at cleaning the glass. Defensive rebounding rate, 98th percentile for a point guard, 100th percentile for offensive rebounding as well. So obviously, he is really, really strong. The best outside of Russell Westbrook, the best rebounding point guard in the NBA, if you so are inclined for those numbers. He also gave you 3 assists in the 21 minutes, 1.2 steals and 0.4 blocks, and was at 45 and 71. But he can't shoot the 3. 27% from 3, that is going to hold him back. And his scoring is a concern. He's not a good scorer. He's not a good shooter. He is below average in all of those areas, according to Clean the Glass, in all the different shooting categories that you can have. Now, in terms of him as a starter versus as a bench player, he played 26 minutes as a starter and averaged 10, 7, and 3.5. He averaged a bit under 2 steals per game and about half a block per game and shot 45% from the field. The true shooting still only 49% because he can't hit threes and he does struggle a little bit from the free throw line, but there is room for improvement. He is already an elite defender at his position. He will be locked into the starting point guard for a long while to come. He will get you steals. He will get you rebounds. He will get you okay assists. He'll be pretty decent blocking shots for his position as well. In 96th percentile in block shot rate for a point guard, 84th percentile for steal rate. So really helping you in those numbers. The field goal percentage is not a complete write-off, but it's not good. A really unconventional point guard for fantasy, but it can still be useful. Finished 176th ranked this season, which is clearly not that good, but over the last 28 games, he was a top 100 guy in that starting role, 10, 7, and 3, and almost 2 steals, and that's a realistic expectation for next season. What's his upside? Can he get to a 13, 14 point per game scorer? Maybe that's the upper limit. But the rebounding, get you an extra 1 or 2 assists, get you those 2 steals, half to 0.7 blocks per game, and up that efficiency by 2 percentage points, and you're talking about a fairly solid top 80 guy, and give him an extra 2 minutes per game, and then maybe you push into the top 70. And I think that's a realistic type ceiling for DeJounte Murray for next season and for seasons to come. Really, really strong effort from him this year. After a terribly shaky start, but locked in defensively, still had a long way to go offensively, and that will preclude him, I think, from being a star and from being a real impact fantasy guy. But he can be a useful fantasy guy, and you've got to know how to fit that into your team correctly. Pat Mills started down the stretch of the year. Not a great year from Millsy. 82 games, 26 minutes, 10 points, 2 triples, 2 rebounds, 2.8 assists, 41, 89, and 37 as his percentages. The 188th ranked player in fantasy. I don't think there's really any hope for Millsy to ever become a top 100 guy anymore. He didn't look the same player. Look, the numbers are still okay, and he played the most minutes he has at any point in his career, but another guy who will be a casualty of the return of Kawhi Leonard when he eventually returns. Not enough assists, not enough steals, not high enough efficiency, doesn't take enough shots, low usage even on a team without Kawhi. So that is that's as much as we really need to talk about Pat Mills in terms of overall value going forward. He's probably older than you think as well. He is going to turn 30 in a couple of months' time. So that's, you know, somewhat of a concern there for Millsy as well. For a guy who's short and relies on athleticism, the shooting hasn't quite been as good as you would hope for it to be in this scenario. Manu Ginobili, who's going to be 41 at some point next season, we don't even know if he's continuing. He just does what he does. 20 minutes, 9 points, 2.5 assists, and 0.7 steals. He can be a guy that you stream in for assists, but realistically at this point with Ginobili, that's about it. We have seen the assist rate dip a little bit to under five assists per 36 when he'd constantly been at 5 or 6 over the past 4 seasons. His steal rate also dropped, which was something that was keeping him around that top 150, and that did really dip this season. No surprise there, though, with Manu at that advanced age. Still really, really strong on the court and does what he needs to do, but it's not really reflecting very well for us in fantasy. Same with Tone Parker, 36 years of age, 20 minutes per game, 7 1.7 and 3.5. The assist numbers are nice, but he's not a guy that hits threes, not a high scorer, not a good rebounder, doesn't get steals, not a great shooter with a true shooting of under 50%. He is never going to be a standard league player again, I don't believe, and he's only a guy you're looking at in the very, very deepest of leagues. I talked about Derek White on one of the draft recap shows. He showed flashes, but I'm not overly sold on him. But if Tone Parker leaves, he's probably going to be the backup point guard next season. Let's talk Davis Bertans, who had probably his best, or not probably, he's definitely his best NBA season of his career. 26 years or 25 and a half years of age, 14 minutes, 6 points, 1.2 triples, half a steal and half a block. And half a steal and half a block doesn't look that great. And it's not, but he showed a little bit more than what we'd seen from him at times in terms of defending the rim, but poor rebounding. He's really just a 3-point streaming option. And again, I don't really see him fitting into a large enough role at any point to become top 150 relevant. Could he have a couple of top 250 seasons? Maybe, if he goes to another team that needs that type of shooting. And he could be a guy that has a 12.2 threes a game sort of a season, but very little else will come from Davis Bertans. We saw a little bit of Bryn Forbes. I just don't really buy him as a player. I think he's a little bit too trigger happy with the shots. The shots don't necessarily go in at a high rate. He does very, very little else apart from jack up shots at a rate that probably isn't commensurate with his overall ability level. The Spurs, I thought I'd have more to talk about with the Spurs, to be honest, for their fantasy season recap, but that pretty much wraps it up for this team. Don't forget to go and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and subscribe to this podcast. Leave a review, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube, and check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA Net on Twitter, and at LockedOnSports.com. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Danny Green.